Hey, what's going on, y'all? It's your host, Tavares.
And Safa.
You so delayed. Welcome back to the Godly Dating 101 podcast. We're so hyped to be here with you all.
Woo woo.
Another Thursday, another podcast. So we finally got the lovely lady back.
Yes, it's been a while, a long hiatus, but I am back. I'm glad to be back. Thank you guys for all your support, for listening to all the podcasts so far. And don't forget to send suggestions. We love getting feedback and getting suggestions as far as what podcasts you guys would like to hear, what topics you'd like us to discuss.
Bear in mind that if you are sending suggestions, that you are not the only person
sending
suggestions. So please don't think you're being ignored. There are one too many emails and DMs to respond to everyone.
We try to get to them all.
They're being written down. We're taking notes, trying to figure out right time, right people to come on these topics. Because we still plan on having guests and all that. It won't just be me. It won't just be us. But we have to get the right timing. And we don't want to just bring someone on because they're quote-unquote influential.
Mm-hmm.
Want to be able to share truth with you all in a practical way.
Right.
You
know, substantial.
That's just our nature.
Just influential.
Yeah.
Oh, poet.
Child, please. Let's jump on into today's episode. Today we'll be talking about emotional
manipulation.
And it's weird because I started working on this and it was an older person messaged me on Instagram saying they had issues, I guess, with the younger people in their church, and she felt as though the younger women were basically getting played or, you know, by a specific guy. And I was just looking at it like, well, this is perfect timing. This is something that needs to be addressed. So hopefully we can tackle some of the things that you can look out for, some things you can pay attention to so you can know if you're doing this to someone or you're speaking to someone that's trying
doing
to do that
to you. Right. But
I don't know if you want to start us off. You want me to start us off?
You can start us off.
She back and she ain't even going to talk.
That's not true. And for those who say they can't hear me, you going to hear me tonight.
You better save your voice before you start coughing again. So I would say the number one thing to look out for when you're dealing with someone that may be emotionally manipulating you is that you're always the problem. And I say that because there are a lot of people that refuse to believe that they're wrong. You know, they'll never admit their wrongs. They'll never look themselves in the mirror. You know, it's always you. You're the issue. You're the problem. You're the reason why I did this. You're the reason why I said that. It's never a matter of, oh man, I said the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. It's a matter of you're the reason why, which may mean they don't feel sorry for doing it. They're just sorry you're upset.
Right.
That makes sense.
Do you think that sometimes if you're always the problem, do you feel like maybe it's just that the person is prideful or maybe they just don't know how to say that they're wrong? Not necessarily.
I think
that
it's a little of both. And sorry, not to cut you off. I just think it's a little of both because I have that same issue at times. Whereas I know it's pride, you know, stopping me from, you know, being humble and taking the low road. Mm-hmm. But also do know I have a hard time saying I'm sorry. You know, so, and I also feel like it's difficult to say I'm sorry when I really don't think I was wrong. You know what I mean? So I don't think it really relates the same way because there are times when you're trying to make me, I guess, see it your point of view. And I'm looking at it like, oh my soft, this is what is happening. And I'm trying to show you my point of view, you know, so it leads to us arguing as well. But I believe that it's really manipulating someone to the point whereas it doesn't matter if they could see they're wrong or not. You know, the pride is getting the best of them. Whereas, no, it doesn't matter how you explain it. No, you're wrong. Like, I wouldn't have done that, but it's your fault. You know what I mean? No matter how you try to word it, it's your fault. So they manage to still make it be about you rather than, you know, they always show themselves.
That they're not perfect.
Right.
They don't make mistakes.
Yeah.
And they make mistakes.
Those are people I believe they call narcissists because they're, you know, overly in love with themselves. You know, they can do no wrong. They'll get arrested and it's the cop's fault. You know what I mean? It's just always someone else. It's never them. You know, and Jesus talked about people that would, you know, you know, they're so quick to point out the flaws in others, you know, so someone else has a little issue in their life, just a little speck, and they'll point that out in their brother's eye, and there's like, oh, well, you have this issue, or you struggle with that sin, or whatever, and Jesus is like, yeah, you're pointing out their flaws while you have a whole log in your eye, you know, and I feel like people that are emotionally manipulating others are always quick to show someone what they're doing wrong, mm-hmm. because it's true what you did wrong, so they can easily make it be about you while ignoring everything about themselves, if that makes sense.
And do you think they purposely do it? If it's done, like, they're purposely, you know, making it seem like you're always, like, the one in the wrong?
I mean, I don't know if I would say, what were you going to say?
No, I was just going to say, because I feel as though sometimes people don't realize that's what they're doing.
Exactly.
Like, they literally think, you know, that they are right. They don't mean to emotionally manipulate, you know?
Exactly. Exactly. And that's the reason why I view it that way. And I'm not saying that these people are delusional, but for lack of better terms, that's really what they are, mm-hmm. you know, because it doesn't matter what's going on. They've never been wrong. Like, I've dealt with people like that. And it's like, you don't want to hold a conversation with them, because no matter what, you're going to find a way to make me feel like I was in the wrong, right. no matter how you acted. You know what I mean? And, you know, it's always going to be about me. So it makes you just look at it like, you know what? I'm not even going to bother.
It's like arguing with a fool. Like, it's not going to get anywhere. But I think once you're saved, and once you develop your own relationship with God, and once you allow God to change your heart, even if this is something you do and you don't realize it, maybe you're doing it to someone else, that will be revealed to you. God will reveal it to you somehow, some way, so that you can, you know, alter that or change that if you realize you're doing this to someone.
Yeah, and I believe that that's clear. It's clear when someone is not spending time with God by how they treat others. And I say that because in Isaiah chapter 6, you know, he had an experience whereas, you know, he mentions in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, you know, sitting on a throne, his glory filled the temple. And he mentions all that, but he mentions that when he's exposed to the glory of God, he said, woe is me. So he, being a prophet, being a man of God, being a man who's probably living more holy life than everyone else, is still saying, woe is me. He realized he was an issue compared to God. You know what I mean? And I feel like a lot of times when you're spending time with God, you realize how insignificant you really are, or how imperfect you really are. So you really don't have time to judge other people. So when people are always thinking they're high and mighty and everyone else is the issue, then that shows they're not really spending time with God, if that makes sense.
Come on, word.
No, but it really shows. I believe that's proof, you know, because the Bible talks about loving your neighbor. Loving God, loving your neighbor is pretty much the entire Bible, mm-hmm. you know, and that's the goal of everything. So if you're not treating people the way that God wants you to treat them, then that shows you're not spending time with God, because you can't spend time with God and just
treat his people like that
and treat his people like garbage. That's it's past hypocritical. It's an oxymoron. It doesn't make any sense. Mm-hmm. Well, okay, Safa just, she making eye contact with me like she don't know what to say. But another thing we want to talk about is people that apologize and don't change.
Right.
And I believe that's I believe that can happen in a lot of situations. I can only speak from what I've seen, what I've done, you know, and what I've been exposed to. But if someone is apologizing and they're not changing, then they're not sorry for what they're doing. Like, let's look at it from a spiritual perspective. People, I don't know what kind of churches you may go to that's listening, but when the Bible talks about repentance, it's talking about turning away from sin. And you're not going to heaven if you don't repent, you know, but before you can do anything, you have to believe. And then the next step is repentance. And a lot of people are saying, you know, they're Christians, but they've never turned away from their sin. They never turned away from their lifestyle. They never turned away from, you know, the things of the world, you know. So when they go to an altar and just cry, God, I'm sorry, then that's not impressing God and making God, oh, jump up and down. No, Bible mentions that angels rejoice when a sinner repents, because that's when they turned away from sin to turn towards God. You know, so we have to think about that now in regards to our relationships. If someone hurts you and then you let them know, hey, that hurt me, I didn't like the way you did that or said that, and then they don't change, then that show, and they apologize, yes, but they don't change, then it just shows either they, one, don't respect you, or two, they're not sorry for what they did.
Right.
Or three, they don't see that there is a problem with what they did. Or basically, they really just don't respect you, because you can't tell someone, I'm sorry, and then not change, because that shows that you aren't genuinely sorry, because your actions are going to follow where your heart is. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
That makes sense. And if whoever, you know, you're talking to, if they're going to church to get with you, that's manipulation.
Yeah.
They're not being genuine. They're not being their true self or getting to know God on their own for their own salvation. Like they're doing it for you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's shallow. That's shallow love, because that's not the intent. That's not what God wants. Yeah. If someone is going to go to church, they need to do it for themselves, for their personal relationship with God. And eventually, if they're going to church for you, eventually they can't keep that facade up for a long time.
Right.
You're going to see their true colors. Whoever they are outside of trying to please you because they're going to church is going to come out. I remember when I was not so saved. Okay.
Just casually threw that in.
No, I've always been in church, but I remember when I was coming out of high school, I'd never had a boyfriend before, and I just said, hey, you know what? Why not? And I started dating someone who was unsaved, and I knew it wasn't going to go anywhere. But one thing I did notice is that, you know, he tried, like, you know, he would, you know, come to church with me. He would, you know, read his Bible. He would, and I, at first I literally thought maybe it was genuine. Maybe it was for, you know, his own salvation. But then when I wasn't around, or I remember one time, he accidentally, dialed me on the phone. And so he didn't know I was listening in, but he was talking to one of his friends, and he never cursed around me. He knew I hated curse word. He'd make sure his friends never cursed around me. But when he accidentally dialed me, I could hear in the background, he was just flipping off, like, curse words everywhere. and then it occurred to me, this is why you don't, how do you call it? You don't, flirt to convert, is that the term you use? Because I realized he wasn't having a genuine relationship with God for himself. He was doing it for me. It was a facade. I didn't know who he really was outside of you know, this thing, this image he put on to make me know that, you know, he was trying to be a godly person. and so if they're doing that, if they're changing the way they you know, if, you know, having a relationship with God because, you know, they want a relationship with you, that's not genuine, and it's manipulation. That goes into my next point.
No. Don't get into your next point. So perfect scenario. She mentioned her side of that. So I was dating a girl, not saved, but, you know, she's related to people that are saved. So she would come to church, and she knows I'm serious about God, you know. So she was genuine. I'm not going to judge her. I want to say she was genuine. She wasn't, but I want to say it. but she knows that my church believes in baptism. I'm not here to judge any of your churches, but if you want to read the Bible, Jesus said in John 3:5 that you need to be born of water and spirit. And in Mark 16, it says, he that believeth and is baptized. So if you're only believing and not baptized, hey, go search the scriptures and have a conversation with that pastor. Back to my story. So we went, you know, we were talking, and she knew I was serious about God. So she wanted to be with me, and she knew that was kind of like the deal breaker. So she's like, she's going to get baptized. And I'm looking like, wow, you know, she's taking steps. Like, that's amazing, you know? So I'm looking like, oh, perfect. This relationship is going to go well. Then eventually it didn't go well. And then we ended up breaking up. And as soon as we broke up, she never went to church again. And I don't mean didn't go to our church. You know what I mean?
Just not go to church, period.
Because I know a lot of people, you don't want to go to church with your ex. You know what I mean? But she didn't even find another church. She just, like, got out the window type of thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I'm not to say it ended on a bad note, that she had God in the wrong light. No, it just showed that she was never in it for a spiritual walk. You know what I mean? She thought getting baptized would impress me, you know, or make me happy. When in reality, it's not about me, you know. I'm just happy that people are getting saved. I'm not, you getting baptized is not going to make me want to be your husband. You know what I mean? But unfortunately, a lot of people get in these relationships with people that are manipulating them, you know, because they're looking at it like, oh, well, all it takes for me to get this guy, to get this girl, is for me to start going to church. It's for me to start reading my Bible. You know, it's for me to start using churchy lines or whatever the case may be. You know, and then they think they're impressing you. And a lot of us, we are very gullible, and we can be so naive, and we can think, oh, God is working on their heart. And God very well may be, but we need to take a step back. Let God work on their heart before you try to date them. Let God right. work on their heart before you marry them. Because I've seen saved people backslide from church and turn away from God because they start dating someone in the world. I've seen people go from preaching, go from singing on a pulpit, and go from teaching Bible studies or whatever, being so effective spiritually, to dating someone who doesn't have the same convictions as them, but because they were, quote unquote, taking steps towards God, you know what I mean? They started dating them, and it's so easy to get pulled down than it is to pull someone up, you know? So you need to be with someone that's on the same spiritual mindset, you know, in the same spiritual playing field as you. And I won't say that we're always, I won't say Safa and I always do things the same, or I'm more spiritual or she's more spiritual than us, but it's the fact that something should be a solid foundation, and your relationship with God should be that, and you shouldn't compromise that just because he's cute and he goes to church, or she's fine and she attends church. No, how's their walk with God really, like outside of just attending service or outside of just getting baptized? You know, you need to pay attention to their fruit, you know?
Right, and sadly, some people don't see the facade before they get married to these people.
And then you're married to someone who doesn't want to go to church when you want to go to church. And you're bringing the kids all by yourself to go worship while he or she is home chilling or partying.
And then you find yourself praying yourself through, praying your family, you know, always asking for prayer for God to save your spouse. And this could have all been avoided if, you know, you just saw the signs and allowed God to change your heart and not try to do it yourself.
And it's not a knock on those people that are in those relationships, because there's some people that genuinely was serving God and mm-hmm. then they just turned aside, you know, and you can't determine if your spouse is going to live for God or not. But at the same time, if they're not living for God before you're married, don't assume they're going to be living for God after you're married.
Right.
So yes, they may be emotionally manipulating mm-hmm. you, but at the same time, you have to use wisdom. Use discernment and not just be so determined to have someone that you settle for whatever is available.
Amen to that. And speaking of that, I think another thing is if the person says, you know, if you love me, you would have, or if they always use terminology like that, mm-hmm. if you love me, you would, you know, dress this way or speak this way
or do this activity.
That's a bold-faced manipulation.
Yeah.
Especially if this person knew you before their relationship with you, especially if they knew you before your dating relationship mm-hmm. and you used to wear certain things. And then when you get into a relationship with them, all of a sudden, if you love me, you would wear your skirt a little bit shorter or whatever. It changes who you are as a person. Like, you wouldn't have dressed that way if that person didn't say that. Now they make you feel like, you know, if I don't wear this, if I don't talk this way, maybe you don't love them mm-hmm. and that's not fair. That's manipulation, because then you start finding yourself doing things, dressing a certain way, you know, speaking a certain way for this person, to please this person, because if you love them, you would. And before you know it, you don't even know who you are anymore.
Right.
God forbid you break up. You've lost yourself. Now you have to go through this whole process of finding who you are again, because you've changed your entire being for this individual.
Yeah.
That's manipulation.
Yeah, and you know, you guys may not have experienced it, but trust me, that happens very common. If you love me, we're going to get married anyways. Or if you love, I don't see what's the big deal. If you love me, you would do this. If you love me, you would do that. And if you have to prove your love by compromising your walk with God, then trust me, God did not send them. It's not worth it. You know, you never have to compromise your biblical convictions for who God is sending. You never have to lower your Bible standards in order to please someone that God is sending. Because if you have to compromise who you are spiritually, then they are a distraction. They're not from God. You know, so please don't, if you find yourself in a situation or you see your friends in these situations, please show them who they are. Because a lot of times we get in these things and we lose ourselves trying to keep up with people. And this happens with friends as well, you know, because I remember, I won't even just say deployment, but you know, you have those friends that are like, hey, bro, man, it doesn't take all that to live for God, bro. You can read your Bible, cool, but yeah, we about to hit the club. Like, you could go, you know, and they try to subtly, that's how the devil works. He's very subtle. He's going to try to
manipulate.
Yeah, he's going to get you to, okay, you can live for God, bro, mm-hmm. but you ain't got to do all that. You know what I mean? And they try to get you to, the more you can get comfortable, you know, because I've seen people, you can tell a lot of times when someone is backsliding way before they leave the church. The outfit is different. The friends are different. You know, the way they were excited about church, they aren't excited anymore. You know, they're excited about everything else except God. You know what I mean? You can see the slow progression. And a lot of times it's because they're around people that are manipulating them. Right. They're around people that aren't spiritually helping them. They're around people because they want to fit in. And I understand that. No one wants to stick out. No one wants to be that person that's the weirdo. And no one wants to be the person that everyone makes fun of. No one wants to be that person that you look, quote unquote, lame. You know what I mean? I know a lot of times I've done foolishness in order to fit in. And then, you know, but I have a friend that I knew since maybe kindergarten, and we're still good to this day. And I had a whole bunch of people in my life that would try to get me to compromise who I am, you know, in order to be friends with them. And this guy's known me since I was a kindergarten. If I want to be stupid, he'll probably be stupid with me. But he's not inviting me to no foolishness, and we'll still be cool later. Like, he knows that's, he didn't choose to live for God, but he knows my friend lives for God, and I'm not about to disrespect his walk with God. You know what I mean? And there are some people that in your life that you probably, it's just going to take a while for you to be able to witness to. But if they're in your life and they're causing you to stumble, you have to get them out of your life. But there are some people that are in your life that aren't living for God, but they're not disrespecting your walk with God. And those are the people you need to pay attention to, because those are the people God is bringing around you so you can influence them. But, and please don't think that's in regards to dating. If God put a person of the opposite sex in your life, the best thing is probably to get someone of the same sex to help mentor them, you know, or get someone, you know, to be that accountability person, or be that person to help disciple them. But you trying to flirt to convert, you know, and
it gets messy.
Date someone into the kingdom, it's going to get messy. And you don't want to be that person that loses yourself all for finding a ring.
Right. And not to say that, you know, that's something that won't work, because I've seen people, you know, I guess, quote unquote, flirt to convert.
Oh, yeah.
You know, people who weren't saved come to church, and they love each other, and the other person gets saved and they get married, and they live happily ever after.
Yeah, like, one of the most spiritual couples that I know, like, been married probably close to 30 years now. The wife mentioned that, you know, she was in church, he saw her, she's like, I'm not dating some unsaved guy. So she told him, you got to get saved. He came to church and he got saved. You know what I mean? Because when a guy knows what he wants, he's got to go after it. You know what I mean? So he only came to Jesus because he wanted a woman. But God ended up turning that guy into a preacher. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's just the fact that, ladies, I know a lot of you are, you know, may feel desperate at times. And guys, I know a lot of you may feel like, man, there's no girls in the church. And you're wondering, oh, if I just compromise, you know, I could get them in church. Listen, if God touches them first, then you can pursue a relationship. But don't think starting the relationship and then asking God to bless it is going to bring his blessing. It's not going to bring his blessing. That could bring a curse from the devil. Once the devil can get you to compromise a little bit, sin is never satisfied. And it is going to keep snowballing from there.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll let you dive into the next one. I'm talking too much. I don't want to scare the people away.
All right, so another thing is when you have a disagreement, they make you feel less than by using phrases like, no one will ever love you the way I do. I've seen that. I've seen that so many. And not that it's happened to me, because I'd have been like, let's not even go there. If but
she hit the black girl face. Y'all already like, know, like, who? Who are you talking to? Like, come on now. But let's be real. Go ahead. Mm-hmm, go ahead.
I think that this more so happens for people who are like, deeply in love. They really think, or you know, they really find themselves in a position where this is a person that maybe they see the, you know, a real future with. And maybe, because if it's somebody you just started talking to and they telling you this, oh, yeah, I would have been like, all right, like, you're doing too much. But and I think that's where the issue lies. You don't want to lose them, and you really start believing that you know, that they're the only person that can love you the way that they do.
And listen, who cares what they think? At the end of the day, you don't need to listen to anyone's toxic seeds of doubt. You don't need to listen to anyone's disrespectful words or putting you down or making you feel like you're less than anything anyone's condescending tone or disrespectful nature, because we don't have worth because we're married. Your worth is not in your relationship. Your worth is not in your relationship with a man or a woman. Your worth is in your relationship with God.
Amen.
And you know, so if you feel as though you need that person to be validated. It doesn't matter how great of a spouse you get. You will never know who you really are until you have a relationship with God, until you're secure in your walk with God. Mm-hmm. So if anyone tells you, oh, no one is going to love you the way I do, or listen, Jesus died for you.
Right.
And if they feel that way, they need to go die. They mm-hmm. need to go prove it then. You exactly. know, to be like,
who and are God you? Will send you someone who loves you even better.
Yeah. God is able to exceed our expectations. Please understand, you know, someone probably won't love you the same as them, but that is an amazing thing that God is not going to send a second person into your life to try to manipulate you. You know, God is going to send someone better who's not going to try to, you know, change you or allow you to do anything foolish, you know, or cause you to compromise who you are with God in order to be with them, you know.
Right.
So please don't think, you know, that's normal behavior, because a lot of times I feel like people stay in these relationships because they think it's normal. When all you're used to is dysfunctional relationships, you're willing to put up with a whole bunch of toxic, you know, comments and disrespectful comments, because if you saw your parents go through it, then that's normal. Or if you saw your siblings and your friends go through it, then that's normal. But that's not biblical. And just because something is normal in society's terms does not mean that's God's will for your right. life. You know, so don't put up with people that feel the need, you know, to put you down, and they can't disagree as an adult. You know, mm-hmm. they make you feel like you're not important unless you view it the way they view it, or unless you're pleasing them. That's not God's plan.
Right. And another thing is people threatening to kill. If your significant other is threatening to kill themselves or expose things about you because you guys have a disagreement, or because they don't, or because, you know, you got into an argument, or because they're upset about something, that's manipulation.
Yeah.
No matter what argument you guys get in, what disagreement, that person should love you enough to keep whatever between the two of you. They don't need to expose anything about you. And that goes for friendships too. If somebody's in your life and they're trying to just expose you and you know, out of just malicious intent, just put your business out there, they don't need to be in your life. Yeah. Family, friends, boyfriend, girlfriend, they don't need to be in your life. That's manipulation.
Yeah, so I don't recommend this for any of you to try something crazy like this, but my brother, I want to say he tried to get his way with I think it was my mom, or maybe it was my grandpa, because my grandpa was the one who responded. My brother was just like, man, you know, he just going through it. You know, he just feel like killing himself. My granddad said, here's my gun. He pulled out his gun, handed it to him. He said, go ahead. And then he was just like, no, I'm just playing, you know.
Yeah.
But and obviously, I'm not recommending that.
Because
you know?
some people are on edge. Some people will.
But my thing is, there are some people that do know that when I make certain comments, I can get from you what I want, because they know how to play with your emotions. That's why I'm not saying you do something drastic to prove or to go after their bluff, but I'm letting you know that there are some people that they aren't having any issues. They're trying to manipulate you into doing whatever they want from you. They want to get your money. They want to get your time. They want to get your attention. If you don't do something, you don't text back fast enough, they think you're cheating. If you don't call them when they want you to call them, that means you want to break up with them. It's always an issue. And it's like, don't allow someone to manipulate you into doing what they want you to do, because that's not even what God does. God does it. God gives you free will. Why date someone that doesn't give you free will? You know what I mean? It's like you're mm-hmm. dating someone who wants to put you as their emotional slave. You know right. what I mean? And that's a complete joke, you know? And I believe that some people do have, you know, like these suicidal thoughts and thoughts of harming themselves. But please don't think that you dating someone that is suicidal is going to stop them from being suicidal. You know, so people that are in these situations, they need to have help. They need to have therapy.
For some professional help.
Exactly. Counseling. Or
you can't help them unless you are a therapist. And even then, you're in a dating relationship.
Exactly.
So it'll just complicate things.
Exactly.
You need to find them the help that they they need. But yeah.
Yeah, so because if someone is in a relationship, and if the relationship isn't going well, they're considering suicide, or considering harming themselves, or they're feeling, I don't know, just dejected in general, then that shows that person isn't ready for a relationship. And I say that because they're putting the person they're dating in the place of God. Their everything, their peace, their joy, their happiness, because no one can be that for you. Period. Safa is an amazing wife, but she's not God. And she can't be. And it's not fair of me to have her be what only God can be. The Bible mentions that in God's presence is fullness of joy. In Safa's presence, I might be stressed some days. You know what I mean? And, you know, she's great. But that's a real thing. A lot of people, they want to make it seem like you have to be their everything. And your spouse is not meant to be your everything.
Nope.
The person you're dating is not meant to be your everything. You know, so don't think you have to do stuff like that in order to please anyone. And I know we've talked about a subject that I want to say is kind of heavy, because a lot of people refuse to believe that they're in these scenarios. But please understand, this happens in church. Like, I'm not saying this is my homies from the hood or little Susie from the suburbs. No, this is literally sometimes in church where people will try to emotionally manipulate you from their leadership position, or someone will try to use their title in order to abuse or mistreat people. You know, there are a lot of people in leadership. Well, I thank God for leadership that I have, you know, but there are some churches whereas the leadership can't even be trusted because, you know, they have ulterior motives in regarding certain things, you know. So you have to be careful when it comes to this stuff, because this stuff can happen in church. This stuff can happen among people in ministry.
Mm-hmm.
This stuff can happen regarding parents as well, or people telling you you're not allowed to date so-and-so, and then you would ask why, and it's just...
no real reason.
There's no reason. You know what I mean? So no one, at least if anyone had an issue with me marrying Safa, I wouldn't have cared. Just don't come to the wedding. You know what I mean? Because if I sought God for myself before I even brought her up to people, okay, that means I'm just allowing my leadership to approve. My parents are perfectly fine, and spiritual people.
Right.
My pastor is fine.
At that point,
spiritual person. I don't need anyone's approval if my parents and my pastor is like, I'm proud of you. Go ahead, do the right thing. You know what I mean? But there are some people, whereas they want to date someone, and their leadership is like, oh no, well, I don't think that's a good idea. And I believe in being submitted to your leadership. You can't be in God's will without being submitted to spiritual leadership.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, if no one is good enough for you, or you should never be married, or you can be married when I say you can be married, or you have to be married to a specific person, all of those things are emotional manipulation.
Right.
You know, so we have to pay attention to these things, you know. I'm not sure the exact ways that we can use to resolve it. But I do know when you're dating someone that's in those scenarios, you have to be willing to step back. You have to be willing to let this person get the help that they need, because you don't want to date someone, get married thinking marriage is going to change them, marriage is finally going to please them, only to be stuck and miserable. I'd rather you be single for a long time than married and in prison. But that's just me.
That's just you. That's everybody.
Yeah, I can't speak for the people, you know. But I don't know, man. I don't know. How do you view this stuff? In regards to leadership, how do you view dealing with that? I mean, you never experienced that.
I've never experienced it, but I've heard it happening. And sadly, I feel like that's the worst kind of manipulation, simply because you trust, I mean, you especially, I don't know, I feel like some people will go to church, they see that happening, and then they lose all trust in God. Lose, it causes their relationship to completely dwindle. They're like, well, you know, if these people who, you know, are so in, you know, have such a great relationship with God, or they're supposed to, and they're supposed to be our leaders, if I can't even trust them, who can I trust?
Right.
At that point, and sometimes people leave church, and I feel like on the leadership's part, and I feel like I'm just going off like on, you know, on a different road than this, you know, manipulation. But in leadership part, it's wrong, and it's sad that there are people out there, pastors, preachers, that are manipulating, you know, young women, young men, whatever, and it's just really sad. I've never experienced it myself, but I've seen it happen, and I feel like it's just the worst type of manipulation, because then people start to lose trust in the church.
Yeah.
And then you start hearing things, you know, well, that's why I don't go to church no more. Mm-hmm. Because they make, you know, shows about it now, and
yeah, let's end it on a good note. We're not ever gonna get on that. So Safa, I would ask, if there's a young lady listening that you believe that she believes she's possibly in a emotionally manipulating relationship, what's your advice to her?
Run, sis. Like, I don't even know how else to say it. I feel, honestly, I'm a firm believer. If you see a red flag, you don't ignore it. I feel like you don't ignore.
I feel like they see these signs.
And they wait until
the color changes. It's still red. It's gonna be red.
Everyone wants to get married, and who wants to waste their time? Even if after, you know, some time, after being in a relationship for a couple months, you now see that red flag, you're like, man, if I let this end, that means I just wasted 5 months of my life. And who wants to go down that road? Who wants to start all over again and get to know somebody? Who wants to do that? So yes, people stay. People stay because they don't want to endure that hurt again. They don't want it. So they try and make it work, unfortunately.
So these sisters, are you telling them they need to make it work?
No, absolutely not. I just like want to make sure
no one left here with that one guy. Because you kept saying that.
Run, sis. That was my initial phrase, and I stick to it. Because, I mean, I think that it'll only get worse.
Yeah.
If someone is manipulating you and they realize you're staying, even though they're manipulating you, they're going to get away with a whole bunch of... It's just going to get worse. And you don't want to find yourself down that road when you're married. And then you can't... There's nothing you can do. You don't want to end up divorced. Yeah. So I say if that is a red flag, that's a big red flag. And I think that, you know, you should just let that relationship rest, you know, and pray about the situation and leave it to God.
I agree. And if there's any guys in that situation, please leave. I won't say run. Just please leave. Because you might get hit by a heel trying to run. But nah, no, really.
The Bible does say, I mean, that's evil. I feel like that's evil. So the Bible says flee the very appearance of evil. And to me, that look evil. So
that's nah, why I say but run. That's real talk, though, because I feel like a lot of people, especially women, they love to make it seem like they're in this own little fairy tale world, and they refuse to believe that women are manipulating guys as well. And I believe a lot of women are manipulating guys outside of the church, allowing guys to compromise their integrity, because there are times when I was called boring or corny for being a Christian guy, you know, and there are a lot of girls talking about they want a godly man until that man wants to live for God. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of guys that compromise their purity, compromise their integrity, compromise who they are spiritually in order to get a woman that God didn't even send his way, mm-hmm. you know? So if you're in that situation, bro, and sis is doing all this extra stuff, you let her know, hey, I'm trying to honor God now. I know we were having sex in the past, but this is wrong, and I want to be able to honor God. And she starts crying, but I don't get why we have to. And I ain't making up this scenario. I've literally had this messages like this in the past. But it's just, you'll try to let them know, like, we shouldn't be doing that. You know, I want to honor God. And then they'll try to cry, or they'll, but I don't get it. We did it in the past. God will forgive. You know, and comments like that, that shows you need to go. Don't make excuses for these type of situations.
Mm-hmm. And I think another thing, this is a little sidebar. Like, I think another manipulation, another sign of manipulation is if the person is saying, and this is in regards to like a showing, you know, naked pictures or videos, mm-hmm. or whatever the case is, they're saying, oh, you don't really got it like that. Let me see if it, you know, like, mm-hmm. if that's how you really got it, prove it. Yeah. Like, you know, send me something. That's mm-hmm. that's manipulation. They're trying to get you to
use that reverse psychology. Yeah,
so you now you feel like you have to prove yourself.
Yeah, you don't have to prove nothing.
Nope.
If he want a thick girl and he's calling you skinny, that's fine. Let me be skinny. Let me be exactly. skinny and single.
You don't have to send him nothing. Let him think
or,
that.
Or if she say, you ain't got no six pack, listen, I got a fat belly, sis. I ain't got nothing.
He is not the one for you.
You don't have to send anything in order to prove who you are or your looks. All this stuff is just the devil's way of getting you to compromise. Mm-hmm. And it's always going to be subtle. Listen, I don't know if you guys are looking at it from the way we're looking at it. It's not going to be the ugly guy that you never like. It's not going to be the ugly girl that you never like. It's always going to be the attractive person that you want so badly that's going to try to manipulate you. You know, it's not going to be something... The devil's not sending stuff that doesn't attract us. The devil's not sending stuff, you know, that doesn't entice us. James says, every man is drawn away by his own lust. So the devil's sending things that is very appealing to our flesh, very appealing to our eyes. So you have to know... Just because someone is, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, or just because she has it going on, that doesn't mean God sent them.
Right.
You know, so please keep your eyes open. But, yeah, that was a real good point that you brought up, because I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. No, I was going to say the reason why I thought about it is because that's a situation I dealt with.
Yeah.
And I was just like, this doesn't make any sense. Like, I know who I am. And if you know who you are in Christ... Yeah. You know, you shouldn't feel like, you know, you have to prove yourself to anybody. You know who you are. God knows who you are. So that's that. That's all that matters. And so I thought it was, you know, important to bring that up as well. It just clicked, like, for a second, it just came right into my head.
Ooh, Holy Ghost. Hey, dropped in her spirit.
Well, we hope this helps someone.
We hope to help someone. This was an episode we came in. It's like, this is what you should do. We believe you should know. This is a episode that we believe was just here to bring awareness to issues that are going on in church that you may be ignorant of. And not necessarily so you can know someone else is having a struggle. It's so you can know when a situation may come to you and you may know that this isn't God's plan. I need to step back. You know, so please, if you're in that situation now, you need to be able to have a conversation with them. Let them know I will not be tolerating such and such behavior. And if they change, then God is good. I pray you guys have a successful marriage. But if that person continues to manipulate you, or you don't see any growth, or you don't see that person living for God, it was nice knowing you.
Right.
As my pastor would say, good to see you. Here's a bottle of water. I'm having a good day. Goodbye. You know, so please, please, if you're in these scenarios, no one is going to look down on you just because you dated for 5 years and we assumed you were going to get married and then you broke up. It is better to break up now than be in a marriage and break up. So if you're in a manipulative situation, please, if it can't get fixed, then just listen to what God is telling you to do. And as always, if you're on Apple, please leave a 5-star review. This is heavy, so we probably won't even get one after this episode, but you listen to the end, so we appreciate you all.
Thanks, guys. We really do appreciate your support and your love. We love you, and we hope you guys have a wonderful weekend.
Week and weekend,
because it's Thursday.
Okay, you kind of confused me for a second. Love y'all.
Love y'all.
Peace.